to win their 18th title in Game 5 Monday in Boston. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Mino and the Mayor.
Would it be improper for me to be at the farmer's market in my biker shorts tonight?
Depends.
Because people can wear biker shorts in public.
Sure.
Okay.
Of course you can. So, are you comfortable with that?
I am.
Really?
Yeah, I got those good thighs. Sometimes they need
to be
released.
You don't worry about, you know.
Unleash the thighs. I've had people tell me that.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise?
Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's, like, testosterone and overload and whatever they, you know.
Testosterone. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because feeling full can sound like this.
How did the interview go?
I did it! I got the job! I can't believe it!
And like this.
Mom, I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project!
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations!
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Progressive presents 10 things on a contractor's to-do list that are harder than getting a commercial auto insurance quote. Bidding a new client, giving an accurate estimate, finding affordable materials, getting a client to pay you for work you already did, getting a client to pay you, period, securing permits and workers and tools, getting those workers and tools to work together, and finding the perfect pair of overalls. Pockets, baby. But the easiest thing on a small business owner's to-do list? Seeing if you can save on commercial auto insurance. Get a quote in as little as 7 minutes at progressivecommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverage subject to policy terms and conditions.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly cloudy, highs in the upper 70s, southeast winds up to 20 miles per hour. Gusts over 20 on your Saturday night with showers and thunderstorms and a low of 66. Showers and thunderstorms are likely on your Sunday, highs near 89. For Monday, 91.
It's 57 at our studios.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time when we're back in the studios of Madison celebrating our Civic Media Scotty Summer Text to Win win. Join us, all that and more, review of the weekend's news. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut a deep end.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. All my friends and relatives in four directions. I sounded like an auctioneer there for a second. You are listening to Native Roots Radio, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Chujunk Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. And this portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, what a beautiful day here in the Twin Cities. I was at the Four Sisters Market, and what a glorious day there. And then, Haley, I also stopped into that new restaurant in the Indian Center, the Gatherings. And
Gatherings Cafe.
Yeah, it was crazy, crazy good. Had a little, I'm eating a lot of bison lately. I hope Wendy's not listening. But I had one of their sandwiches and some chips, some sacred chips and some sacred salsa. And
sacred chips.
And some sacred water, and water's life, and it was awesome. And then I so close to the Four Sisters Market, it's a block away, so I got my steps in. I was walking back and forth, and looking like a vagrant, but I still made it okay back to the car and back to St. Paul.
Wow, look at you, a baby elder just out there walking the American Indian Cultural Corridor on Franklin Avenue.
Exactly. Let me get that applause button here real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So our friend Robert Lilligren will be hopefully coming on in a little bit, and it was good talking to them. Their things are happening there, and seeing our Ho-Chunk sister who's running the market. And
yeah, Destiny.
Right. And of course, we have that art gallery that's just beautiful. And the Indian Center had an art gallery. I went in and saw at the Indian Center, Charlie, and his store is open and he's doing really well there. So what a beautiful building. And it's a good day to be Native.
Yeah. So, yeah, our listeners out there, the Minneapolis American Indian Center had their grand reopening on May 1st of this year. And they have Gatherings Cafe. They've got, Woodland Indian Crafts is Charlie Stately's store.
Yep.
And the gallery. I have yet to go to the gallery at the Indian Center, but I'm excited to check that out as well. Was the bison pretty good at Gatherings Cafe?
No, it was really good. It really, really, really was good. And it's funny, too. We're in such a small community here in the Twin Cities, even though we have 50,000 natives in the Twin Cities. But we have a community where we all kind of know each other. And the cook that, and I don't know if that's the right terminology, the chef or maybe the sous chef, I'm not too sure, worked at O'Omni. Yeah, and I had his sister as one of my past students, and he came out and talked to me, and it was really nice. And because I went there when it was kind of slow, because it was like lunch was over, and I stopped in. And it's just cool how we're all connected. And I've been to O'Omni lately, and went there by myself and got a good seat. And I wasn't the guy with the newspaper under his arm mumbling. I was talking to everybody in a good way.
Well, that's good. Yeah. If you haven't been out to O'Omni, they are like a 5-star all native cuisine. And it's amazing.
Yeah. And I hope Robert comes on, because one of the things I wanted to talk to him about, too, is that we were hanging out with Sean Sherman and Sterling Harjo, who is the main producer and owner of Reservation Dogs. Yeah. And it was really fun hearing his story last night at the Walker Art Center in Minneapolis.
I saw that.
Yeah. And the day before, I was at the food lab in the Global Market, where O'Omni and Sean Sherman have really taken a big space in there. And there were some free hors d'oeuvres, and you know how I like free and hors d'oeuvres, and had a great time, ran into a lot of people, ran into a few Ho-Chunks too, which is always cool.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Always great to see our Ho-Chunk relatives out in community. I saw, was Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan was there, right?
Well, she spoke, she was in the audience, and so was her husband, Tom, and her daughter. And after Sterling did his kind of story about, kind of his background, and his background's filled with Minnesota connections. Oh, and, cool. You know, they got Dallas Goldtooth, of course, working with them in the 1491ers. And he talked about, and Bobby Wilson, and he talked about how that all came to fruition. And hey, there's our friend Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute. And let me try this once, Robert. NACD.
Yay! That's been practicing, Robert.
For people that aren't watching us on Facebook Live, Robert did the death signal for with the handshaking, the applauding. Hey, we were just talking about last night and the last few nights with Sterling and your friend, the Lieutenant Governor.
Oh, yeah, that was really something. I apologize for being late. I left the office kind of late, and then on my bike ride home, the chain came off my bike. So that delayed me putting that back on. But yeah, that lecture and the conversation last night was incredible. It was so rich.
Yeah, it's fun too. And then there was a private meal afterward, and I was begging to find out where that was.
Well, sorry you weren't invited. Some of us just don't quite make the cut. But it was a tiny group. It was like 10, 12 people at Guy Noy, right by Loring Park. And if you haven't been there, I'd highly recommend it. I love that place. Fairly new. Within just shortly after opening, it was named one of the best restaurants in the country by the New York Times. But yeah, talking about Harjo's experience here, and he credited Minneapolis for launching his comedy career.
Mm-hmm.
So he wasn't just blowing smoke. I mean, he had stories to tell. He brought the receipts.
Yeah. Yeah. Good way to put it. And they were very funny receipts, too. And I really liked the insight when he was talking about his Uncle Brownie was based on his father.
Yeah. It's like,
what the hell?
Jeez. Right. It really sounds like directly based on him. And then, you know, a lot of the people in Reservation Dogs were his actual family.
Right.
And then a lot of the characters were based on actual family. And so it was kind of a cool, tight circle.
Well, I was hoping that there'd be a little Q&A from the audience, but the Lieutenant Governor did a great job with asking some questions. But one of the things, I don't know if I was talking to you, Robert, but I know, you know, Bobby Wilson stayed at Ende Young and worked at Ende Young.
Sure.
And Dallas Goldtooth worked there, too, when they were young. And the funny thing is... that one episode about cheese being in the home for, you know, Bobby Wilson wrote that. So it was kind of a takeoff from Ende Young. I wanted to ask about that.
Nice. And for folks who don't know, Ende Young is a housing project in St. Paul that provides shelter and permanent housing for Native youth.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that would have been fun to ask. But hey, we're going to take a quick break here, Robert. And I'm so glad that you made it here and that you're bike. No. Haley and I were talking nonsense. We were keeping the mic warm for you.
Oh, always.
Appreciate it.
On the topic of Res Dogs too, I just want to shout out a big happy birthday to Gary Farmer. That was yesterday.
Oh, wow. Cool. We'll have Gary on again. Gary's one of our guests, to our fun guests. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we're here with Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute, CEO and president and all-around great guy. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. Ho-wa!
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It's official. Governor Tony Evers proclaims this June is Pride Month in Wisconsin. But did you know the state has a long history of activism alongside LGBTQ+ communities and allies? The Civic Media Radio Network supports the impact and celebrations and is sharing thoughtful stories all month long.
Bob Neal and Edgar Hellum fell in love in the 1930s. But they also fell in love with Mineral Point, Wisconsin, where they worked together to rescue and restore buildings set to be demolished. The gay couple gave Cornish language names to those properties, the best known maybe Pendarvis, a piece of history from the mid-1800s when Mineral Point was a lead mining town. Their success during the Great Depression is considered the start of what's turned the area into an art and tourism hub.
It's a story of love and preservation, and you can still experience it today thanks to Bob and Edgar. I'm Terry Barr.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Just showing off there, huh, Haley? NACD, got it.
NACD.
Yeah, good, Robert. And I see you updated the Four Sisters logo, so.
Thank you for noticing, Robert.
Yeah.
Well, Haley's on top of it. You know me. I take my little nappy before the show, and then I ask her what the show is about. So then
it's a team.
Were you able to take a nap while I was biking against the wind and fixing my bike chain? You were napping?
Yeah, I sneak those in because I don't ride a bike, you know, and I can get around a little quicker. You know, I'm in the capital city, and you're in a bike haven trail there in Minneapolis.
Yeah, it is. It's good to bike.
Well, not only that, you know, I just have to commend you too. When I think of biking in Minneapolis, I think of that project you worked on when you were a city council member, and you know, the underground kind of bike path. What is that called again?
The Midtown Greenway.
Yes.
I actually worked on it before I was a city council member. I was on the board of the Midtown Greenway Coalition that advocated to get it constructed. And then phase one was actually constructed before I got elected. But then phases two and three came while I was there. And on a big public works project, there's always all kinds of issues that need to be resolved.
Yeah. Well, you know, the state and the local area are lucky to have you. And And I mean that truthfully, because again, you know, we joke about all the committees that you're on, but if we're not there, we don't have a chair. We need people like you to be not only that experience, but just to be at the table and stand up for Native issues and what's right, because Native issues are human issues and human issues are Native issues.
Oh, and then of course, bringing the next generations in, right? And creating more access And really, I've just been thinking more and more. It's not really just the next generations, people even of my generation, you know, providing access, coaching people how they can use their voice in a policy environment or to change a system. And yeah, that's kind of what we do at NACD, right? We're a systems change organization that grounds in community through our projects and programs like Four Sisters Farmers Market today, which was beautiful. I can't. Mm-hmm. All my relations arts gallery, I make voting a tradition, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing too. I've been listening to you, and we've been talking for quite a few years here on Native Roots Radio, and I feel like in the beginning it was just like an onion peeling away and all the different layers of what Native American Community Development Institute does. And I mean, I'll even say this, you helped me with my campaign when I ran for office in my tribe, and you do that in a local level and national level, just part of your mission.
Yeah, and not NACD's mission, that's my own personal work, and I enjoy that just because when I first ran for public office and started a campaign, nobody would help me. You know, and especially experienced political people, I was challenging the system, and, you know, one or two would be quietly with me away from any kind of public eyes and things. But generally speaking, very few people would help me. And I made the determination then that if I get elected, and I'm going to make sure that I'm sharing what I learn, that I'm bringing other people along, that I'm creating access, especially for BIPOC people, especially for women. And I've done that. And even if I know that I'm very unlikely to support a candidate at the end of the day, if they ask to meet with me and sit down, I'll meet with them. But I'll tell you this, Robert, one of the joys of working with you is that you actually listened to what I said. Not everybody does. But
yeah, I, I appreciate that. You know, I think, you know, from my own life story, I've learned the hard way that anyone can learn from their own mistakes. It's geniuses that learn from others. And I'm not calling myself a genius, but you get the vibe.
Very cool. And yeah, so that's something we do. And yeah, we may expand some of our work at NACTI. We're in conversations right now to allow us to do more political work. You know, it's kind of a heavy lift to organize that part of a nonprofit, but we've talked about it for years. Some stars are lining up. People in the community feel like NACTI is the place to incubate, you know, this kind of work. And so we'll see where it goes. I'll keep you posted.
That's awesome. And I know from my nonprofit work with other organizations, it's a different, it's like a 403B or something that you become, right?
That it's so. C4.
I was close to one of those letters.
Right, close. But there's a ton of difference. You see C7, that's like a business association, but there's a lot of nonprofits. It's an Internal Revenue Service. It's an IRS status. And then it comes very heavily regulated. So as a 501c3, it's still heavily regulated, but it's the sort of lightest touch. But as you go up in the numbers, there's more attention, more regulations. We'll see.
Hey, I want to switch gears real quick. And you know my story of being in recovery since 1984. And part of being in recovery, you know, in a 12-step program, I've been in for almost this is my 40th season. I've been clean and sober for 40 years, is that you need to tell your story, kind of give it away to keep it. And with Hunter Biden writing a book about that, and with that kind of thinking behind it, where he's trying to help people, because he's been sober for a few years and help people and tell his story, it was used against him in court. And I just like, I don't know what the heck. I feel terrible about the whole ordeal.
Right. Yeah, I agree. First off, to say that, and, you know, he's traveling his road, right? And he's doing what he thinks is right. And he's facing up to his mistakes and crimes. And, you know, this trial was very interesting. You know, you had crimes that normally are not prosecuted standalone. They're generally part of a broader suite of charges, but they kind of were cherry-picked and went to trial. And you have right-wing Republicans, who are sort of adamant for being a gun owner, right? So they're not even defending a gun owner. And, you know, this was supremely politically motivated. If he wasn't the president's son, there's no way he would have faced that trial. But
yeah, he is. I know. And that's where we're at, you know. And to me, being in recovery, I give him a lot of credit in what he did. But again, it was used against him. And that might take pause for other people to really tell their story and try and help people. So it's kind of sickening for me the way I kind of feel and see it.
Right, but I also give credit to you for your road to recovery and the time that you spent. So like you said, you have to give it away to keep it. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
So,
but that's really native, though, too, isn't it? I mean, that's a thing that really fits in our culture, is that how important, and again, back to Sterling, how important his mother was in the community, and how the reservations dogs ended up because the kids joined the community and became a big part of the community at the end.
Right. Yeah, I thought the story told about his mother dragging him to every event on the reservation, you know, and it was really touching in how she'd point out all the people who were related to him were his cousins. Yep. And she'd make him go shake their hands, right? He did that, you know, kind of grudgingly, it sounded like. But then years later, he had this whole network of people that he was connected to, that knew him, that were supporting him, that were helping moving him along his career. I thought that was really touching.
Right. And I thought it was really funny because how they blew up was doing their own thing as a 1491ers. And their first shoot was Bobby Wilson happened to have, because he was working on a mural, happened to have a key in Little Earth. And they went inside Little Earth at night and did it. And they cracked themselves up. That's all they cared about.
Right, right. Yeah. And 1491s, if folks haven't seen the YouTube videos, go there, see them. They are hilarious. And that's his creative team, right? That's his group that has kind of grown with him in his career.
And I had an opportunity, Robert, to see Between Two Knees. I read a book about Native comedians that came out in 2022. And I got an opportunity to see that. And I didn't really, because I know how kind of crazy those guys are, and especially with the, you know, the era of their YouTube videos. But this was a put together play that was sold out and really had a message, and it was funnier than heck.
You just saw that right recently, wasn't it?
Yeah, they redid it for it had a month run in off Broadway right by the World Trade Center.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, so when he mentioned it in this lecture hall, you know, several hundred people and everything, Robert Pilot was the only one that started clapping. I'm guessing you were probably the only person in the room that had seen it.
Well, you said it so fast too, but that's funny you caught that. Robert Pilot was clapping like a seal. Right. Well, Robert, I want you to be able to, you know, take care and wash those hands now. And we're going to, I'm going to take off here to my area meeting, but I appreciate you dropping in for the first two segments of Native Roots Radio. And look at all the people watching.
Always a pleasure. Gigawaba, man. See you, Haley. Right on. See you, Robert.
Well, hey, up next, Haley, what do we got?
We have a best of segment with the Dean of Doherty Family College and a recent 2024 graduate.
Right on. Hey, Native Roots Radio. See you tomorrow. Keep listening.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Federal regulators are looking at falsified documents that led to counterfeit titanium plane parts being delivered to manufacturers like Boeing and Airbus. ABC Aviation contributor Steve Ganyard says,
if a parts manufacturer wants to cheat and try to cut corners to save money, it's very difficult for a manufacturer like Airbus or Boeing to figure out when the certifications have been counterfeited.
Boeing's removing the affected parts from planes that have not been delivered to airlines. In London, Kate, the Princess of Wales, making her first public appearance since she announced she's being treated for cancer. She is taking part in the King's birthday parade. President Biden will take part in a star-studded Hollywood fundraiser today in Los Angeles. Former President Donald Trump will speak in Detroit. Emergency crews in Portland, Oregon, rescued 28 people Friday from an amusement park ride that was stuck upside down for about half an hour. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Brewers lose to the Reds. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers tried to make a comeback but lost to the Reds 6-5 at AmFam Field. It was a special night in the broadcast booth as the team celebrated the 30th anniversary of analyst and former catcher Bill Schroeder. Many of his former colleagues stopped by to call the game, including Jim Paschke on Bally Sports.
William Contreras, deep to center field. Bang! A home run. His ninth of the year. The Brewers have third.
Are you practicing the home run call today? Very nice.
College football, another exciting recruit commits to Wisconsin. Eugene Hilton, the son of former Colts receiver Ty Hilton, has agreed to play for the Badgers. NBA Finals, the Dallas Mavericks came back to dominate in Game 4. They beat the Celtics 122-84. Kyrie Irving with 21 points in the lopsided win.
Yeah, it's not going to be easy in Boston, so got to look forward to the challenge.
Game 5 Monday night in Boston, the Celtics up 3-1. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly cloudy, highs in the upper 70s, southeast winds up to 20 miles per hour. Gusts over 20 on your Saturday night with showers and thunderstorms and a low of 66. Showers and thunderstorms are likely on your Sunday, highs near 89. For Monday, 91.
It's 60 at our studios.
Here's to experiencing it all this summer in Wisconsin. Every deliciously cheesy, rockin', magical, fireworks-filled, festival-loving moment. There's Cheese Curd Fest in Ellsworth, Strawberry Fest in Cedarburg, Festival of the Arts in Stevens Point, and the Renaissance Fair in Bristol. Honor the Earth Powwow in Hayward, Mile of Music in Appleton, Venetian Fest, Bratfest, Summerfest. So many fests for your whole crew. Find them all at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
Hi, this is Jim Schmidt, your former mayor of Green Bay. You know, I've always cared about local issues. I still do. Join me on my new show, Lean Local, here on WGBW. I'll interview community leaders and elected officials, discuss the economy and development projects, and we'll talk about the future of education here in Greater Green Bay. As they say, all politics is local. So join me for Lean Local, Sunday at 1 p.m. on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 WGBW.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Consider yourself a snowbird with property in the south, or just like to vacation there. You'll want to keep an eye on what's predicted to be an active hurricane season from now through the end of November. Forecasters say that there's an 85% chance of above the normal number of hurricanes, especially in the Atlantic Basin. Here's what it could look like. 17 to 25 storms, 8 to 13 of them becoming hurricanes, and 4 to 7 of those could be major. If you're wondering why, temperatures in the Atlantic Ocean are near record warmth, and La Niña conditions are developing, and both of these support the formation of tropical storms. No matter where you go, it's information to keep you and your family weather ready. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Maggie Dawn.
Coming up on the show, Maggie's back in the saddle, and we talk about Biden's top 100. This week, we're talking about the environment.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons at 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by JS Bean Factory, Native-owned, off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Hey, we're with some groovy people here from Doherty Family College, and I want to talk to the dean here for a second and talk about how fun it is to have former students come back and visit. I think that's what it's all about.
Oh, thank you, sir. That's my happy space to talk about our scholars. That's my whole purpose. I think a mission in life is to be the best educator I could possibly be. And so I'm honored to walk along with Cheyenne and our amazing scholars. And yes, I feel as a teacher, we do our best to try to mentor and guide young scholars, help them on the journey, and not to tell them what to think, but how to think and to challenge us as well. And that's how we grow. But everything I do, I try to make sure it's scholar-centered in all the decisions we make as a college, whether it's fundraising, developing the curriculum, and we do it with the input of our scholars. DFC, we are stronger and better because our scholars are empowered and they tell us what they need. And we don't try to assume we know what's best for them. We ask them to engage with us and to share what their needs are. And then we ask how we can support them.
Perfect. Hey, Cheyenne, I want to get back to you. Talk a little bit about your past and your history, what led you up to maybe a little bit about your life a little bit, being from White Earth and a citizen of White Earth. And talk about your journey and what got you into the Family College here of Doherty.
So the Native descent comes from my mom. She's probably listening to this right now. She is from White Earth, and it kind of starts from there. Unfortunately, I don't hit the blood quantum specifics to be deemed from White Earth, but I still consider it. I've grown up in Minneapolis. It's where I was born and raised. And I grew up going to Brooklyn Center High School. And Brooklyn Center, it gave me some beautiful memories. Don't get me wrong. I loved it. But I dealt with a lot of bullying and a lot of backlash growing up. And I also dealt with some teachers that did not see any potential in me. So I was constantly, instead of being lifted up and raised, I was being told that I would not graduate. I would be a high school dropout. Don't even think about getting a bachelor's degree, you know, that sort of thing. And I heard about Doherty from actually a guidance counselor at Brooklyn Center. And she really pushed me to apply. And at this point in time, I wasn't sure if college was going to be for me. Like, yes, I passed and I did graduate my high school diploma, and that was a big deal for me. And so this bachelor's degree means so much more. But at the time, I remember sitting there contemplating if this was for me. And I applied to DFC. And when I first applied, I actually got rejected from DFC, which I think is an interesting story within itself. I struggled a lot with core curriculum growing up. So like math, reading, you name it, I struggled. Math was the worst for me. It was one of those classes that I couldn't register. And it was hard. Like, I'm not going to lie, like thinking about it makes me want to cry for myself, because I remember so many of those late nights sitting at the table and I was just lost. But I got through and I applied to DFC, received that rejection letter, and my mom was like, absolutely not, you're not going to take that, you're going to actually reapply. And I was like, mom, are you sure? Like, they kind of already said no. She's like, no, you're going to do it. She really pushed me. I remember one night driving the car and I was just like, mom, I don't think this is for me. And she's like, you can do it. If anyone can do it, you can do it. And I applied and I came back with an army behind me, with like a insane list, like 10 people of recommendations for why I was fit for the program and all of that. And I came back in and I submitted all of that. And DFC was like, you know what? Maybe she does have potential. And I got accepted. And I remember just being so excited and over the moon. And then that's kind of right where I started at DFC. And when I tell people that story, so many people look at me and they're like, that's so strange. Like, I got accepted first try. And I'm like, well, everyone's story is a little different, right? Like, everyone coming to DFC might not have the same experience as me, because everybody has a different experience in life. But very fortunate that DFC took that chance on me. And I'm very fortunate to even be at St. Thomas now because of DFC. Like, so much has happened within these last almost 4 years. And a big part of that is because of DFC. They were really the foundation for me to start college. And they really just kept pushing me up and up. And I know that's what DFC's for. That's what they're all about. They're about uplifting their students. And I'm very fortunate to say I was one of those students that definitely have felt uplifted. Like, I never in a million years would I think, oh yeah, I'm going to be on the radio. No, that's crazy. That's for like famous people. So like, just being here now, I wouldn't be here without DFC and without people like Dean Buffy, who sees the importance of a program like this. And I honestly, I can't thank DFC enough for the opportunity.
Well, that's awesome. Before we go any further, I want to just change the subject for a second. And blood quantum is a way to erase us. You are a white earth if you believe you're white earth. And we talk about that a lot here on Native Roots Radio. Blood quantum is a white way to erase us natives. So you are white earth. So don't ever think you're not. I just wanted to throw that out there.
I've struggled with that too, Cheyenne. We've talked about it on the show. My father's enrolled, it's a concept, and it doesn't take away any of that native blood that runs through us every day, and it'll always be there. So claim that and be proud of it.
It's something I've been really working on, because like in high school, I was constantly told I'm too white, therefore I can't be native. And when I tell people I'm Native, they would sit there and try and belittle me and tell me that I wasn't what I am, which was always so weird. So like, I've kind of dealt with this weird, like, imposter syndrome where like, I want to accept it, but also it feels like society is telling me not to accept it. And then when I got to DFC, I was like, you know what? Fresh slate. Nobody knows me here. Let me start accepting it. And I never once felt like I was an imposter or like I couldn't accept that side of me. Like, yes, of course, there's always those moments of self-doubt where I'm like, ah, I don't know. But, you know, after experiencing DFC and like having a great support system and like friends that didn't belittle me, instead they would uplift me, I think that right there kind of really helped me kind of battle some of that imposter syndrome that I was feeling previously.
Wow, really good points. And Buffy, I want to jump back with you and talk about, like, you and I have this experience that, you know, bad things might have happened in high school, but I mean, I'm 62 and I don't hang around with anyone I went to high school with. So that's, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do, sir. I'm 52 and I agree with you. I only want to say the Cheyenne gives a lot of credit to Doherty Family College. And once again, I say we are honored and we were blessed to have you as part of our Ohana family. But the foundation that made you who you are and who that credit belongs to your family and the amazing community that you come from. We did our part as educators and part of the village and part of the clan to help you explore new opportunities and provide you with some skills and knowledge. But the foundation, the core of who you are, that's divine, and that's from your family and your community. But yes, sir, you know, if your peers are not elevating you, just know that you will soar above them real soon.
Mm-hmm. Right. And there's that old saying, Dr. Buffy, is that the cream always rises to the crop, to the top. So absolutely. But it's hard. And I'm not minimizing what Cheyenne went through. It's difficult too when you hear so much dark wind and you start to believe it. But we're here. And, you know, it sounds like Doherty Family College, DFC family, really, really helped support you and open it up to your potential, which is just another word for not doing it.
Yeah, honestly, like without DFC, I don't even know where I would be right now. Like every time people ask me, like, would I change anything? It's mostly no. Like, honestly, I wouldn't change how anything happened, because if not, I wouldn't be where I am right now. Without DFC, I wouldn't even be pursuing my bachelor's degree, which is so mind-boggling within itself to think in 2 weeks' time, I will have my diploma in hand. And it's like, that right there is insane to me as a kid being told what I couldn't do rather than what I can do.
And you mentioned too, which I think is really, really important, that you have a younger sister and that you're leading the way and a good example, not only to her, but relatives and community members and people listening to the show. If she can do it, I can do it kind of thing is really beautiful, because that's how we open up doors with our stories.
Yeah. I remember just sitting down with my sister a year ago and she was just like, I don't know where I want to go. And we went to the same high school and obviously she didn't want to follow my footsteps, which I think is fair, but it's also like, you got to be a little practical here. You know, all these other colleges want you to come out of pocket and pay X, Y, Z. DFC is free, free, free. And they'll help you minimize that tuition cost a little bit. And I think that right there is just like, a no-brainer. Like, obviously I would choose that, and I had to help my sister kind of see see that light. And honestly, like, her applying there got her friend to apply there, and now they're both there together. And it's like, see, like, if I didn't go and I didn't start pushing DFC for her, then who knows if she would have actually went.
Wow. Hey, there's more to talk about. This is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Nation.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
It's official. Governor Tony Evers proclaims this June is Pride Month in Wisconsin. But did you know the state has a long history of activism alongside LGBTQ communities and allies? The Civic Media Radio Network supports the impact and celebrations and is sharing thoughtful stories all month long.
The annual June Pride event in Milwaukee is the oldest and largest in the state. U.S. News and World Report also includes it as one of the top 20 LGBTQ plus celebrations in the country. But the parade and several-day festival started as a one-day protest. The Milwaukee demonstration in June of 1970 was timed around the first anniversary of the brutal police raid at the Stonewall Inn in New York City. It's also the first time people showed support for gay rights in Wisconsin, sparking a social awakening that continues today. I'm Terry Barr.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How?
And here's Wendy with the new sacred animals.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Haley. Hey, everyone. My name is Hana Jihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hana Jinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. I have some news here from 20 WCJB. The source is Stan Mills via KKTV by Tony Keith and Emily Van Wright, and this is published on June 11th, 2024. Yellowstone National Park. A recent video out of Yellowstone National Park shows a grizzly bear with five cubs in tow. Stan Mills operates a YouTube channel showcasing wildlife in Yellowstone National Park. On Wednesday, he captured the grizzlies on camera at the Specimen Ridge Agate Creek Trail Junction. Mills called it an extremely rare encounter. Park officials agree. Park staff told KKTV that it's unclear if all five of the cubs are from the same mom or if the grizzly seen in the video may have adopted some of them. Quote, five cubs in a litter are the most we have ever observed in the park, at least from 1959 to present, the period of the park's history we have good records for, Linda Versaces with Yellowstone National Park wrote to KKTV. In Yellowstone, the average litter size for a grizzly bear is two cubs. Approximately 49% of the cubs survive their first year. Visitors should be aware that all bears are potentially dangerous. Park regulations require that people stay at least 100 yards from bears unless safety in your car as a bear moves by. So we'll keep an eye on those mama bear and her cubs to see how they're doing. I'll keep checking in to see if there's new information and let you know about it. 4th of July is coming. I'm going to be talking about this until July 4th. So have your dogs chipped now. Make sure they have their license tags on their collars. Secure your yard. Make sure there's no place they can jump over, crawl under. And please keep them indoors. Even the most well-trained dog gets scared and takes off on the 4th of July. And the 4th of July, statistically, the most dogs go missing on the 4th of July just because of the noise and the sound and the craziness. It really is. One of the things I got Wanda for her collar, it's called a roam tag. And what it is, I could find her on my phone. So I could see exactly where she is at all times. So I'm really happy that I have her. So she's overly chipped. So she's chipped. She has her chip. She has her tag on her collar that has our phone numbers and names and her name on here. And she also has the roam tag. So I could go on my phone to see exactly where she is. So I'm happy that I have all of that for her, because I don't know what I would do if I ever lost her. It would just be devastating. We did lose a dog once years ago. Our Chihuahua, Mickey, Robert and I were out of town and we had a house sitter. And Mickey got out. It was a thunderstorm. Who knows how he got out, but he did. And he was lost, for 24 hours. But it was really, honestly, the worst 24 hours of my life. And I never want to go through that again. So anyway, keep your dog safe. Here's another meme I found that I thought was important. When you see animals in need, please help them instead of hoping someone else will. You are someone. Years ago, I used to feel that way. Like, why isn't anybody doing something about that? Or that's an important issue. I hope somebody's working on that. And then finally one day I was like, well, you're somebody, Wendy, and you could do stuff too. So you need to get involved. So find some way to be involved. And that's why I became a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, because I felt that working on policy and laws and ordinances and getting those things passed in your local area is really important, and it helps animals. So that's why I do it. And there's no matter where you are in the United States, the Humane Society of the United States has volunteer opportunities. So check it out if you want to do it. I mean, even if you go to your local shelter and, you know, walk the dogs, or, you know, go in and, you know, brush the cats or clean their kitty litter or whatever floats your boat, it's always good to volunteer in some way. At least you feel like you're doing something, right? You feel like you're doing something, and anything. No matter how big or small, you know, people are like, well, I can't really get out. I don't have the time to do that. That's fine. If you see a post on Facebook about a lost dog in your area, share it. That's helping. You know, if you have a few dollars to give to your local shelter or to an organization that helps animals, you know, you could help that way too. So you could foster. Foster an animal. That's when you take in an animal that's not, you know, out of the shelter. They live in your home until they find their forever home. So that's really a special thing to do. And I really applaud people out there who foster cats and dogs. So here's another little meme that I like. You can't trust every hand you shake, but you can trust every paw. I definitely do believe that. Dogs don't have a mean bone in their body. They're just here to make us happy, I think. Exactly. Here's the new 5-second rule. I've been talking about this. It's not really new, but you need to know it. Place your hand, place the back of your hand on the pavement. If you cannot hold it there for 5 seconds, it's too hot to walk your dog on it. The little paws there can really get blisters, and if it's too hot, that's it. When I walk Wanda, I kind of like always walk on the shady side of the street where there's the most trees, because I don't want her to get hot and damaged, or her little paw pads to get burnt and blistered. Here's a thought. Ask a wildlife rehabilitator what they need instead of buying fireworks that terrify wildlife. You know, Robert and I used to always go and see the fireworks every year. We used to go to Stillwater, Minnesota, and watch them over the St. Croix River, and it was like really a beautiful thing. Until I really learned, I didn't know back then, like how these fireworks really affect wildlife. There's little animals that have, you know, squirrels that have their babies and deer that have their babies, and they're in their dens and they just get terrified and they take off. They just sprint and go out of fear. The flight or fight hits, you know, kicks in and they're gone. And then they can't find their way back and their babies, you know, die. Birds flying in the air literally have heart attacks and fall from the sky. And not only that, the fireworks really are just pollutants. It pollutes the ground, they pollute the water, it's the fish eat the debris. It's just really a horrible thing. I really wish that fireworks were banned. I really do. And another thing is that a lot of soldiers with PTSD, this really affects them as well. They have flashbacks and it's just really horrible for them. So anyway, with that, I will give it back to you and Haley. Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Haley.
Hey, thanks, Wendy. You are listening to Native Roots Radio. If you have been listening to the show, you are part of our resistance. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, vote, and free Leonard Peltier now. We'll be back tomorrow.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee Journal Sentinel music critic, Piet Levy, who joins the show to discuss all things Summerfest. We will also discuss the resurgence of the summer box office.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The Supreme Court ruled Friday the ATF did not have the authority to ban bump stocks. Those are the devices that allow semi-automatic weapons to fire multiple rounds with one squeeze of the trigger. Bump stocks were used in the 2017 Las Vegas shooting. Survivors like Marissa Morano say,
I'm sad that something that is common sense, gun sense legislation is being overturned.
She called on Congress to pass a law that would ban bump stocks. President Biden's in Los Angeles, where he'll take part in a fundraiser tonight. Former President Donald Trump, who turned 78 Friday, will be in Michigan. It's been a difficult year for Britain's royal family, as King Charles and Kate, the Princess of Wales, each being treated for cancer, both in attendance at the King's birthday parade, Kate's first public appearance, and she went public with her diagnosis. And federal regulators investigating how counterfeit titanium wound up in components delivered to Boeing. This is ABC News. A report released Friday showed a huge percentage of the world's workers are not productive and not happy.
Around half of U.S. adults are still either fully or partially remote. So while COVID may be under control,
we may very well be in the midst of a loneliness pandemic.
Gallup's Heather Barrett says the organization's 2024 State of the Global Workplace shows that
1 in 5 employees report experiencing loneliness a lot of the previous day.
And beyond lost productivity, studies show that people with weak social ties have twice the mortality rate of those with strong connections. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
When it comes to work, Hall of Fame basketball player Charles Barkley's become must-watch TV as an NBA analyst. He said last night that next season will be his last on television for the NBA. Barkley works for TNT, which could lose its rights to broadcast NBA games. Last night, the